What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the You Know Ball Podcast. I am your host, Trill Bro Dude. Today, James Harden opted out of his contract so that the Sixers can have more flexibility, the mid-level exception to sign PJ Tucker, the biannual exception, possibly sign in trades, all of that stuff. And we talked about it here on this stream. I had Parm from the streams on. We had Dash, who was on the mock draft stream, and we had Dave Early on to talk about some moves that the Sixers could do heading into this offseason with that exception, with the sign-in trades. Is Tobias going to be on the team? Is Cork going to be on the team? Is Thibault going to be on the team? We talked about all of that. So we also talked about some other slop. We talked about the DeJounte Murray trade. We talked about the KCP trade. We talked about a ton of different stuff. We kind of did some rambling towards the end like we do on our streams. If you're not already subscribed to the YouTube, I highly, highly recommend that because we're doing streams hopefully every night this week. We did one last night. We're definitely doing one tomorrow for the start of free agency. We did one tonight, and then if there's more news on Friday, we will be doing one on Friday as well. We'll see. Having said all that, there were some audio issues on here, so please hang with us on that. We didn't realize it until about 30 or 40 minutes into it, so people who are sensitive to that might pick up on that, and I do apologize for that. We'll try to fix that on the next one so that it doesn't happen again. Last thing before I get out of here, we did drop some new merch, so check that out in the description. Jim Adair, who's been on the podcast before, Daniel Son, who's also been on the podcast before, they both designed some new stuff that's really cool. We got a Deal Zone Brian Windhorst shirt. We got a Slop Don't Stop in the same, basically the same design as Ball Don't Stop in the merch store. So check all of those designs out. Buy it if you can. Support us through Square. Do everything that you can to support. I really appreciate it. And I wanted to post this episode because we're on the precipice of slop season. We are almost officially in the middle of free agency. We're going to get a lot of free agency moves. We're going to get a lot of trade moves. We'll be streaming as much as we can while all of this happens. And then I'll have a follow-up episode once the major moves by the Sixers have been done. And then we'll discuss any other major moves that happen around the NBA. So enjoy this episode. Let me know what you think. Tweet at me, whatever. Join us in the stream tomorrow at the beginning of free agency. I'm going to go live around 5:30 p.m. Eastern. 6 p.m. is when free agency starts. So if you have not already, subscribe to the YouTube, and I will talk to you soon. We work to work, you late to work, I holla and they send it. You know my pride was colder than Chicago in December. My bitch came up in Inco with her mama, was her daddy. And when I'm in the Midwest, she say holla at your family. My dog paid me that cup, taste like candy. My dog out laying the law, ain't breaking the laws, out serving out the rock. Beats outside, still fucking in the car, still flipping in the car, still shooting at the car. What's going on, guys? I am very excited to announce that Philly Sports Trips is now the official travel partner of the You Know Ball podcast. The biggest reason why I've partnered with Philly Sports Trips is really simple. I give them my money, I have a mini vacation that involves the Sixers, Eagles, and Phillies, and I don't have to lift a finger to plan anything. I can party as light as I want or as hard as I want, and Philly Sports Trips takes care of everything that I hate. The planning, the organizing, researching where to go, and I get a five-star hotel, non-crazy flight schedules, and tailgates that have unbelievable food and booze, and most importantly, it's a douchebag-free zone. These are just some of the many reasons that I am excited to partner with Philly Sports Trip. I can't wait to go on a Sixers trip next season, and Uniball is absolutely going on the road to at least one Eagles game. So let me know which Eagles game you would want to go to, and I would love to do a huge Uniball road trip. Out of all the cities, I'm thinking New York or Chicago, but I want to know what you guys think as well. So tweet at me, at TrillBroDude, DM me, comment on the YouTube, and let me know which Eagles game you guys think we should go as a group this season. Phillies and Eagles trips are booking right now. So head over to phillysportstrips.com and let them know that You Know Ball sent you for two very important reasons. Not only does it help fund the podcast, but we'll have VIP events and goodies specifically just for You Know Ball listeners. PhillySportsTrips.com premium travel for every Philly sports fan, and a proud sponsor of the You Know Ball podcast. That's right, baby. What's going on? We're back. Another slop stream. We'll wait until some people get in here. I will tweet out. We're talking James Harden being a king. As Parm said, this will be an audio podcast, so I probably should introduce everyone. We have Parm, who everyone knows from the streams, from the mock draft. We have Dave Early from Liberty Ballers. What's going on, Dave?
Yo.
How we feeling, huh? We got the good. We got good news. We got the James Harden.
Huge. Huge news. A rare win for Sixers fans. So, yeah.
Well, our only wins come in the offseason until they actually have to play basketball. And then
you guys are Eagles fans, right? And so, and maybe Phillies. You guys know what
Parm is, and I am. Parm's a Dolphins fan.
All right, yeah. So I don't even know what a championship feels like. So
this is, this
might be for me.
Are you a Jets fan?
Yeah, Jets.
Oh, and peace.
But the Jets are kind of like, at some point that you just kind of root against them. You know, you get so mad that you're like, oh, I'm not even rooting for them. So it's kind of fine.
Oh, yeah. The happiest day on the NFL calendar is the NFL draft. And the saddest day on my NFL calendar is 5 minutes after the conclusion of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And it does feel like every offseason the Sixers do get at least, last offseason being the exception because of the Ben Simmons stuff, the cloud hanging over everything. It does seem like we get a win during every offseason. Like draft night 2020, everyone was very excited. They talked themselves into the season before. Oh, Dash is here.
What's up, guys?
Dash? What's going on? All right, so we got a full house here. So before we get into, we're going to run down a few different things, Dash. We're going to talk up top. We have to talk the Harden stuff because he opted out and he's going to extend now. So obviously this gives the Sixers a lot more flexibility and shit. But yeah, it does feel like every offseason the Sixers have at least one or two good things that happens. And then it all comes crashing down in the second round of the playoffs every year. So today we have James Harden opting out. Windhorse, the king, the deal zone king. By the way, you can buy a shirt that says Deal Zone in the merch now. So he said on The Jump not too long ago that Harden is taking in the mid-30s in terms of this extension. So he was projected to make $47 million next year or $48 million next year, something in that range. So he is opting to extend for longer. We don't know if it's it's 3 years. We don't know if it's 4 years, whatever it is. But this gives the Sixers a lot more flexibility. It explains how they'll have access to the MLE. They'll be able to sign PJ Tucker. And now they'll definitely have access to the biannual exception for like $4.5 million to sign another free agent. And then also Woj did mention sign and trade possibilities as well. So huge fucking win, because I was feeling like, how the fuck is any of this going to work? But now that Harden has taken this smaller deal, Michael Rubin, the king, hooking it up with Fanatics and giving him a bag on the side, I assume. Dash, weren't you the one that talked about this with like NBA boosters and stuff, like how we haven't got there yet?
Yeah, I was always under the impression that these guys were for sure operating in the shadow. Like, for me to believe that LeBron and Anthony Davis don't have some LA freak that has his body preserved in a cryotherapy chamber every night, paying them extra money on the side. Like, it's hard for me to believe. And Shams basically just admitted that this is what Ruben is going to do now, right?
Amazing.
It's like, I'm so excited. I don't own the team anymore. I'm just going to give these guys the bag. So pretty great. Cool to embrace it.
Well, I mean, even with the PJ Tucker thing, it doesn't really seem like they're running away from that, because everything they said was that he will have a lot of business opportunities in the Philadelphia area. And I'm like, his agent, by the way, his agent is from Delaware. His only other client is Charlie Brown Jr. I was like, it's a very weird thing. So I'm assuming that Harden and Tucker are both going to get some maybe Fanatic sponsorship or whatever it is.
That's so fucked up.
It's great.
That's so fucked up. PJ Tucker at 37 cannot be getting like $30 million with the Fanatics endorsements and three for $30 million. Like, well, this is why Daryl's pumped.
So that's the interesting thing, is what are the ethical implications of him, like, funneling money from a sports book operation? How do you separate that? Does it even matter? Like, Schefter owns a ton of stock in betting companies. I don't know that anyone's ever talked about that. So I don't care really that much, but a lot of people might.
How is it, like, it's basically like, I mean, I would imagine Schefter as a newsbreaker would have a lot of information that would benefit sports books. So that would be like almost like market manipulation in a certain way. Like
what, for example, like perhaps breaking into a hospital, checking on a man in the ICU's medical records without his consent, something of that nature.
What are you talking about?
What he did to Jason Pierre-Paul when he blew his hand off.
Wait,
he snuck into the hospital under a fake name and like took a look at his medical records and like leaked them.
Dude, go on. Tell us more about this.
That was like a real thing that Adam Schefter did. It was like a huge scandal.
So what Parm is saying is that he hates real journalism. He hates real journalism. You know, this is his job, Parm. This is just a day in the life of a journalist.
That's a day in the life of a CIA agent, maybe. He can just wait and ask a family member. It's not that serious. It's Jason Pierre-Paul. He's a lineman for the Giants.
Look, Adam Schefter has never had anything that was, you know, morally ambiguous that he's posted online said or done.
Never once.
So, anyway, back to our morally pure kings, James Harden and the Sixers. So Harden opts out. If he takes that deal in the mid-30s, it would explain the PJ Tucker thing, like I said before. I'm definitely interested to see if Woj said sign-in trades. I think that's a real possibility.
Newbeck mentioned that too already, right?
Yeah. If Kyle Newbeck mentioned it and Woj said it, there might be something in the works at least. The thought, I guess, there is I do have a theory that I want to get to, but the BAE is the one thing that I'm interested in because it's the one way that they can clearly get some guys, at least one guy, at $4.5 million and help in the rotation immediately. So you add Melton off the bench, you possibly start Tucker, maybe bring him off the bench, depending on who you get with the BAE. And I have a hard time finding people that I really like that I think are going to make $4.5 million when, like, Torian Prince, who is, like, not really good at all. He just kind of is, like, a tall guy who shoots. Just got $8 million from the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, like, who is a target out there that you could realistically even get for $4.5 million that's, like, a wing or whatever? Like, we see wings go for so much fucking money just for being tall and be like having like a little bit of ability. Like, who could we realistically think of? Like, could you get a Martin twin for $4.5 million next year? Could you get Caleb or Cody Martin?
Shitty one? Yeah, probably.
Let me give you some context on the biannual exception and tell you what types of players are used for this. You have the Bobby Portis one, right? Which is fake.
Yeah.
I don't know why he signed for that. But you get a player like Facu Campazzo, who Denver used their biannual exception for and was a complete disaster. So I think you could get a Martin twin for that, though, right? Because it's in between the MLE and the minimum, and I don't think those guys are getting more than that.
Yeah, and the lack of money that will be able to go around this offseason is going to be a big thing. Because a lot of teams have either like used all their cap space. There's like literally no teams that have cap space left. I think the Orlando Magic are the only ones that are going to have cap space that actually matters. Maybe the Spurs, but like, I'm not really sure. So with the lack of cap space, and then also the fact that teams are going to have like MLEs focused on like one guy, like PJ Tucker is going to get our full MLE just because there's no other playable wings / bigs, whatever he is. And he can come in and be an instant guy that you can throw into your rotation. So, like, maybe Cody or Caleb Martin, sure. And, like, that would be fine. That would be a perfectly fine seventh, eighth man. That would be perfectly fine for what the Sixers need. Just, like, someone who can play defense and is athletic. And, like, at least Caleb Martin was able to stay on the floor for the Heat a little bit in the playoffs. And then you have, like, I looked at the list. I'm like, is, like, Daniel House, like, is Daniel House going to go for that? Or is like he a minimum guy? Like, I just don't really know. This free agency class sucks for wings. First off, I've been saying that for a while.
Can you get Marvin Bagley for the biannual exception?
He's getting $10 million. He's getting a two-year, $20 million contract.
Wait, when did this happen?
Jake Fisher said earlier today.
Oh, okay. Kevin Knox,
UFA. Who's in on Knox?
Okay, wait, Dave, every time you bring up Kevin Knox, a part of me dies.
Isn't Luke Garza available?
He might be the worst veteran player in the NBA. He's played like 15 games in four seasons.
Dude, Parm, you know that Luka Garza's dad is a huge Ethereum advocate and has like 20,000 followers on Twitter?
I know that his dad is opposed to shitload on Twitter because I discovered this last night. Draft guy last year.
Incredible stuff.
And his dad was the only source of his information
because well, no one gave well, a Luka- shit. Luka Garza is a free agent, if you guys are interested. His option did not get picked up by the Pistons. Do you know how bad you have to be to have your option not get picked up by the Pistons right now?
Listen, my hands are clean, baby. My hot take was right. He started 5 fucking games for the Detroit Pistons. James Springer played in 2 games. Do the math. Do the
what
math.
About Lonnie
66
Walker?
Games to 2.
Lonnie Walker was someone that he's interesting, but I feel like he's bad.
He is bad, but the idea talk yourself into it, like Troy Brown, right? Those are the guys that you talk yourself into at this number. Right.
I would take a shot on a guy who's probably bad, but maybe has some upside here because I mean the 1 through 10 in the East is going to be so good. So just plugging in house is good, and I'd probably do it. But if you know their front office talked me into taking a shot on a guy like Lonnie, the fourth, the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
I could be down with that. I mean, I liked Monk a couple years ago.
Sure.
But Harry Giles is a free agent.
Monk has some information being held against him by the Los Angeles Lakers, as we discussed earlier. Apparently, yeah, he's being held hostage there.
What is he? Is he going to get a suspension again for cocaine?
No, that's why he moved to LA. Yeah. No, what I was saying was they got him on the minimum, and now he's talking about taking another discount to go back and take the taxpayer MLE when he could get like $10 million.
Are they giving him free urine? Like I don't understand.
I have no idea. It's totally beyond me. But I like do you guys think Derek Jones Jr. Got a mid-level exception last time? And then proved to not be worth the mid-level exception. Like, he's, like, probably a $5 million a year player. Like, he's probably a guy you play as a bench wing off the bench who can, like, fake as a small ball big sometimes. He's very athletic. He can get you going in the open court. His shooting is still not there. I do just, like, wonder what is, like, the best kind of guy that you can get for such a small amount of money, especially when wings are so fucking in demand.
Is Spotrac.com a reliable source for contract information?
Keith Smith writes for Spotrac, so yes, obviously.
Okay, so I've already solved these problems then. Because according to Spotrac.com, Isaac Bonga is an unrestricted free agent, and that's just a fucking dub.
Oh my god.
That's just an instant W.
Dash, what are you talking about? Isaac Bonga. Dash got so pumped up that he froze.
I feel like if you could get one of these sort of like recent high picks that haven't worked out, you consider it, but you really, really, really need a shooter.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Do they need a shooter? Because Melton can shoot. Tucker can shoot. Who knows if Tobias is still around, but Tobias Maxey can shoot. Like, do you need a shooter or do you need a, like, do you need another defensive guy who can shoot a little bit? Because, like, of course it would be great to get, like, a guy who has the shooting level of, like, some of the guys we've had in the past, like Seth Curry or J.J. Redick or, like, one of the greatest shooters of all time. Like, which is why I was open to the idea of Duncan Robinson. But, like, realistically, are we focusing on regular season players or are we focusing on guys who we know can stay on the floor in the playoffs? Because we're not sure if the Seth Curry types can play deep into the playoffs. We're pretty sure Duncan Robinson can't because he literally couldn't even stay on the court in the Eastern Conference Finals or the second round. So, like, is there a guy who shoots well enough that can survive on defense it's just tough to find. Like, most of the guys that get paid for being shooters are horrible on defense, or they get paid a ton of money because they're good at both.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever watch any Anthony Gill? This is a deep cut, but my girlfriend is a huge Wizards fan.
Parm has watched every fringe NBA player. So,
dude, he shot over 50% from three. He's money from the corners. He's a good defensive player, and he fits your theme of having the slowest basketball players of all time in the roster. So, I think they tendered a qualifying offer to him. Maybe it was $2 million or something, but that's kind of right in the amount of money that we're talking about here.
That's actually I've seen him on the list. Rob Flom was on last night and he brought up some wing options and he was one of them. And I was like, I honestly kind of forgot about Anthony Gill like being in the league. I remember he played one game against Sixers and he hit a few shots. But I don't know. Like I'm just kind of like it's better than like your Jared Culvers, your guys that are just like very clearly not NBA players. And just because they were drafted high, they might get second chances or whatever. And like, I just don't want to be like, I understand the idea of going high upside. I understand the idea of like taking a risk on these kind of guys. But like, if you're going all in, if you have Harden, you have Embiid in his prime, you have Maxey still in his rookie contract, you have PJ Tucker, who's fucking going to die of old age soon on the team. Like, right now is the time to get like guys who can contribute immediately, and we know that they can play, because we can't end up in another Korkmaz situation where Korkmaz like, oh well, he's only 24 and he just had the best shooting season of his career, so like maybe we can give him $5 million and like see what he can do. And like, I love that deal at the time, but then like Korkmaz immediately regressed, and it's like, well, maybe he didn't have any more upside. Maybe that was his ceiling.
What about Otto or Batum?
I think they're definitely both. I think Batum will get a lot more than the taxpayer or the biannual exception. I think Otto will probably get closer to the MLE if I had to guess. It's just really hard to figure out like what the market is right now. I guess we will see tomorrow.
What if you pushed it and waited? Like, there's a guy like Schroeder, maybe, who gambles and loses, and then
right,
you can give him a shot. Yeah, maybe Gary Harris is that new guy.
Sure. But I would imagine that they wouldn't be making all these moves and having Harden take a pay cut unless they already knew the person in mind that they had to get that biannual exception. Because so like,
who's a guy that's like, you would guess that he's going to make $8 million and you would guess that he can play good enough defense and make enough threes? Is there that? Does that exist theoretically? They could get for 4.5, and you're like, oh,
it would have to be. It would have to be that Dennis Schroeder situation that you just brought up, where it's like,
but you can't predict that,
right? Because
so are you guys set on a wing? Is that the ideal?
Okay, I'm open to guards, and maybe a backup big, if they're flexible. Like I'm not. I think. I can't get a guy who's just like people like, and not that he would go for this money, but like everyone likes Tyus Jones, and like Tyus Jones is a good player, but like he can play one position. Like you need to have guys that can play multiple. Like if you're getting a two, he has to be able to play the three. Sometimes like Melton, he can play the one, the two, and sometimes the three, like you can get away with it. And then like, if you got like a four who could maybe play the five, like Tucker, like I'd be open it for those kind of guys, but I'm not going to take anyone who's just like primarily a guard, primarily a center.
I guess Muscala would be kind of reductive if you got PJ Tucker, right? That seems like a someone that can play the four and five, but there's a lot of positional redundancy.
Yeah, probably not. And Maury said that little line about like,
let's see.
What did Maury say?
He basically said the threshold would have to be pretty high if we went big.
Right.
With like one of our high, you know, that we're going to have so few bullets in the chamber that we have to be pretty sure that this guy's better than Reed, you know, maybe Drummond, maybe Muscala, but if
I really don't think they're going to bring back Drummond. I really, I know I've seen a few people, but I think that like Drummond showed in the playoffs. Like, I don't think he's playable against a team like Boston. Like, he just can't stay on the court against those more smaller, more athletic teams. And I know he was the starting center for the Nets or whatever, but like if you're paying guys, you have to know that they can stay on the court in the playoffs.
And Nash immediately realized he couldn't and went to Claxton, but would Doc?
No, never would. I mean, Doc was probably fucking thrilled when they got PJ Tucker. They were like, he's signing into a 3-year contract. I can play him when he's 40 years old. This is literally the greatest day of my life.
But nervous that he might have to do small ball now.
I mean, look, force his hand if you have to. And I also think that like the backup options now you can play Tucker at the five sometimes. Now you actually have a legit backup small ball five sometimes. Then you also have the option to go to Reed as a small ball five. You have Bassey if you want a more traditional guy. Like, I would not put anything into – everything should be put into finding guys who can play the wing and guys who can play the guard and maybe play up a little bit to the wing like Melton. So I think those are the dudes that you're going to have to kind of target here. But, all right, let's look at let's see. Does anyone in the Patty Mills? Now, I like Patty Mills, but, like, I just feel like they have too many guards now. Like, Maxey, Harden – Melton, I would like Patty Mills, but like Patty Mills just opted out of a $5 million contract. Ben Macklemore, Jared Culver, right? Like, I don't like any of these guys.
What is a young 37? What does that mean?
Who said my that? Guy?
Do you mean that like when he goes and plays in Germany where he's less popular than dudes that play pro handball that he doesn't have to like show up? And get posted up by like some 7 foot tall German man for 40 minutes. Like, he still does. The reps still count. They're just in fucking
How many games do they play a year in the EuroLeague, though?
I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it's like 30.
I think it's like 35 or 40 plus the EuroLeague. And I think he.
But he would play in two leagues a year, keep in mind.
Yeah.
Like that, like he was playing like probably close to 80 games because he would play in multiple leagues over there during when PJ Tucker wasn't in the NBA when he was in his 20s. So he does have the thing about PJ Tucker is that he's somehow still an Iron Man in his late 30s. Like, he played 77 games last year, I think. Like, the dude is a fucking he's a beast. But
how long did the Heat trend last for PJ in Philadelphia? Like, when will the steroids wear off? And reckon with that reality, or will he bring enough for the season with him?
I'm hoping that maybe Ruben can have the connection where we can just like fly him down once a week and just like go see, maybe pay Pat. It's like LeBron that one time when he just like went to visit Miami to get his body right when he first got back to the Cavs, and then he came back and was like, oh, he's LeBron again. And it's like, yeah, for sure, he was training in Miami, absolutely, definitely not getting adrenochrome from Pat Riley and Mickey Aronson. All right. So someone asked in the comments, is Tobias going to get traded? I would lean towards no, but I do have a conspiracy theory. Our best friend, HP Basketball, Matt Moore, who is a friend of the pod, he said today that the Sacramento Kings are interested in Tobias Harris, which I don't know if this was an old rumor or if it was a new rumor or if it was just something that he had heard, whatever. Makes no fucking sense to me. They just drafted Keegan Murray. They have Harrison Barnes. Getting Tobias Harris, they'd probably have to move on from Harrison Barnes, but like getting Tobias Harris makes no sense, but it is the Kings. So never count out anything that doesn't make it.
If they hear he wants to be there, they are all in. So maybe
that's definitely a possibility. That's absolutely a possibility. So it does sound like that could be maybe a slight possibility. I mean, the reason they drafted Keegan Murray was because he was the only prospect that was like, sure, I'll go to dinner with Sabonis and Fox. Sounds good. But that's literally like he didn't even meet with the other prospects. So I'm assuming that that's why. But I do have my conspiracy theory brain here. Is Dante DiVincenzo became a free agent today, unrestricted free agent. They traded for him, and then they didn't choose to make him a restricted free agent, giving him the qualifying offer. So he is free to sign with whoever he would like now. And my conspiracy theory brain was Dante's from the Philly area. We don't really need him now that we have Melton, but he's from the Philly area. He wants more money than we can give him. He wants like close to the MLA, but they want Tobias. Dante's a unrestricted free agent. We could get Harrison Barnes and Dante DiVincenzo for Tobias Harris and Matisse Thybulle.
Yeah, Keith Pompey talked about the business interest PJ Tucker can pursue in the greater Philadelphia area. Dante on the main line could pursue these same business ventures.
That's right.
And I wouldn't be shocked if they thought that there's some upside there. I mean, he was projected higher pick than Brunson was once upon a time.
I mean, really, what is Dante, 25? 20?
He went higher.
Yes, true. Zaire Smith went higher than him.
You know how Dave Gettleman goes to the Senior Bowl every year and he picks out a prospect that he's going to draft for the Giants? I feel like that's what happened with White Dante. Is he had that insane tournament run. He had that really good finals game. We had 30 points or whatever. And the Bucks were just like, yeah, this is our guy. Senior Bowl shit. And drafted him.
Right. Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, he was never better.
Well, in some of those agility drills in the combine too, I believe.
He's athletic. Yeah. He's the Michael Jordan of Delaware. And also Philly fans would love just to have another guy from the Philadelphia area back. Like, it doesn't matter if they suck. It doesn't matter if they're good. They'll just take anyone
Delaware is high praise for a guy that is barely playing for the Sacramento Kings when Bones Island's starting.
That was his nickname, was the Michael Jordan of Delaware, apparently.
How is that not Joe Flacco? Elite quarterback Joe Flacco.
The Tom Brady of Delaware? But that was my conspiracy theory. I don't think that there's probably any truth to it. I will say that I could see the Kings doing it because the Kings are just hilarious. But I also think that I would lean towards Tobias being on the team next year just because it's going to be really tough to not be able to get off that contract without getting we don't have assets to get off the deal is what I'm trying to say.
Do you think it is higher or lower percentage that he's still here after Harden news today?
I would say higher percentage chance that he's here. Because if Harden took that massive pay cut, it tells me that Tobias probably isn't movable in order to get the mid-level exception and the BAE and sign and trade opportunities. They had to take a massive cut to Harden's contract. Because if they could have moved Tobias, he would have taken a smaller cut. He wouldn't have had to take that massive cut if they were able to shed salary in a Tobias move.
Do you think they will not even straight up dump Firk?
I think they'll try to. I don't know. There are teams that have, like Chicago has a trade exception that he could fit into. I mean, there are plenty of teams that have trade exceptions. If a team like Cleveland or Chicago or one of those teams is like, we'll give you even second round picks for Furkan, they'll take it. But like, I just don't see a scenario where I think they'd probably just rather hold on to Furkan and Thybulle and Niang potentially for a midseason trade because you have no tradable salary if you move on from those guys, basically. If you're getting back guys that you like think are going to be like rotation players on your team, you're basically stuck with that team. So at least if you kept those guys, you would have some midseason flexibility, maybe get like a $13 million player halfway through the year or whatever.
All right, I have more questions. Can I ask more?
Yeah, ask more questions.
This is for any of you guys. If you were Mark Cuban, would you feel a little bit like, okay, we're probably going to lose Brunson? And by the way, I'm seeing that even the Miami Heat are going to – imagine if the Heat
swoop in and go. That's a scam.
Yeah, that's just to avoid the tampering charges, right?
Okay, yeah, I guess so.
I would imagine.
Would you be open-minded to any of Matisse or even Tobias knowing that you're probably going to lose Brunson now?
I would do anything. Because the Mavs are fucked. Like, they're like, I think they have the lowest like upward mobility in the league. Like, it's almost impossible to make them better at this point.
Yeah, they shit the bed with every single thing that they've done. Like, they now are like, and by the way, I'm not even advocating for paying Jalen Brunson $30 million a year, but what other options do you have if you're the Mavs? Like, the Mavs have nothing to fall back on, really.
Their second best player is Tim Hardaway Jr., New York Knicks legend. Like, you can't fucking do that. Or, like, Anthony Smith.
Do they have the worst asset base in the NBA? Like, I'm struggling to think of a team
probably.
That... Yeah. Like, the Kings have a lot more prospects, and everybody does.
And everyone wants their picks, at least. Like, the Mavs have late first-round picks, no real good young prospects. They have no real, like, flexibility to make the team better. It's like, you better hope Christian Wood is really good. Like, I don't really, like, what is your upside? I just don't really see it. The reason why I thought they might be more open to the Tobias thing was because they have some salary they want to get rid of. Tim Hardaway Jr., Davis Bertans, all that stuff. But, like, I wouldn't want those guys back for Tobias. I think that makes the Sixers worse, personally. But there's that, and then there's the fact that they have, like, apparently this desire to get Matisse Thybulle for some reason. They, like, love like, if we could send out Korkmaz and Thybulle and get back Reggie Bullock, I would be fucking thrilled.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That would be amazing. Happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neither do I, but that's the kind of trade.
I would do that for Bertans, too, probably.
No, I would not.
He's what? Why not?
Bertans can't play in the playoffs. He's got the Thybulle problem. He's just defensively, he's just never going to be able to be good enough to play against a team like Boston.
He's kind of like having another Niang, maybe.
Yeah.
See, I think of him as just like, you know, the Latvian Duncan Robinson. Like, he comes in, takes a couple of shots. He maybe gets like 15 minutes in the playoffs tops.
That's actually his nickname, LDR, Latvian Duncan Robinson.
That's what they call him. I would literally rather pull out my own eyeballs than have to watch Josh Richardson and Tobias Harris on the Sixers at the same time again. Just want to say that. So, to the Thybulle and Korkmaz for Josh Richardson comment. No, I agree. Tobias and Tucker is not a great fit in terms of they are kind of slow-footed. I'm not thrilled about that. Ideally, you would get a starting three, but, like, what starting threes are out there? Like, if you could tell me a starting three that's gettable, that we could realistically get, like, Reggie Bullock to me is, like, the only guy I could think of that, like, maybe if the Mavs were super high on Thybulle. But, like, we'll get into this next, the KCP trade that happened today. But, like, that's the kind of thing, like, the Nuggets – and by the way, I will talk about why I like the trade more for the Nuggets than I like it for the Wizards. But, like, the Nuggets had to give up Monte Morris, who's a good player, and Will Barton, who's kind of had struggles, whatever, recently. But he's, generally speaking, a good player to get back a good starting three in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Like, the Sixers just don't have that to give up because Tobias makes way too much money and Thybulle is just very limited as a player. Like, when people reach out to me and they're like, we could get Josh Hart. And I'm like, no, we can't. Like, the Blazers are not giving us Josh Hart for whatever we have. But then again, I never thought we could get De'Anthony Melton for just the 23rd pick and expire and like fake salary. So I don't know. My brain is fucking broken. But there's someone just commented Josh Hart on there. It's like Josh Hart is really good. Like he's a good defender, good rebounder. He's become an improved shooter. Like he is ideal kind of starting three for this Sixers team, but I just don't see a world in which the Blazers are like, yeah, we just got this guy as the main piece for CJ McCollum in a trade, and now we're going to turn around and trade him for Matisse Thybulle. Like, there's just no shot. The Blazers also have an exception that could fit Thybulle in, and they were also interested in him, but like, are we just going to give up Thybulle for draft capital? Like, as much as Thybulle drives me crazy, I would still rather have him as a ninth man than have like a heavily protected future first that we might not even be able to move and improve the team next year. So that's kind of my whole spiel on that. But the Blazers are really interested in Thybulle. I'm aware of that. But Josh Hart is also much better than Thybulle. So we'd have to give up things to give them to get back Josh Hart. And we don't have the things that could entice them. We don't really have future picks. We don't have prospects that a team like the Blazers would want, because the Blazers want to compete now while they also rebuild. It doesn't really make any sense. But,
When you heard the report that maybe they won't just dump these guys, I think it was Newbeck and maybe Woj who mentioned that they won't just dump these guys, but there is a possibility for a sign and trade. Did anything come to your mind for you guys? Was that like Matisse and Korkmaz going out and someone coming in, one of them?
That was the thought, but I'm also like once again struggling to see anyone in this free agency class. Unless there's someone that could make around that mid-level exception, like some of the guys we talked about earlier, like Otto Porter or whatever, the Warriors wouldn't want to take that money back. But like someone in that class of player, the Otto Porters, maybe the guys we think are going to get too much money that the Sixers can't really afford, then sure, maybe someone in that class of player. But I'm struggling to see who that could possibly be. I still lean towards, like, I think at least Thybul will be here. I think they'll try to get rid of Korkmaz and get back a rotation player if possible, but I don't know if any of that is realistic. So
what about Warren? Have you thought about him?
He's cooked. I've been trying to tell people for months, TJ Warren, from everything that I've heard from like three different people, like TJ Warren might not ever be the same. Like his foot and his ankle are like, if once again, like I would love to use the biannual exception on a guy like TJ Warren who has a ton of upside, but like you can't get a guy who might play 20 games next year and then be shut down for the year. Like his foot and his ankle are fucked up. He hasn't played since the bubble really. And like, I know a lot of fan bases and Sixers fans and stuff want him, but I'm just like, I think it's too much of a risk when you're trying to contend for a title. Like the upside is great, but it's not even like a Nicholas Batum situation where like Batum just didn't really care in Charlotte. Then he went to LA and was like legitimately good. Like Warren, it's not Warren doesn't care. Warren cares a lot. It's just, he might not be physically able to play, and you need guys who are physically able. Okay. So Lu Dort would be the I think Lu Dort is more it sounds like he's going to re-sign with the Thunder, but I think Lu Dort would be more attainable than Josh Hart. Like I think Lu Dort is going into the last year of his rookie deal. I think OKC, how many guards does OKC have?
Really?
Yeah, what?
Like you think Lu Dort's easier to get than Josh Hart?
I think Lu Dort has become a little bit overrated, to be honest. I think that Lu Dort is really good, like as a solid like role player type guy that could like help a contender. But like I don't think Lu Dort is like this elite defender like everyone talks about him. Like he's a fine offensive player. Like maybe in a better situation he would be better. His shooting isn't that great. Like I don't know. I just think because of Lu Dort's story, I think he's been a little bit over. Like I would definitely rather have this version of Josh Hart over Lu Dort 100%. He's a better shooter. Rebounder, bigger, like I just
think they're gonna rake you over the coals for the value.
Maybe
like you, if you get Lu Dort back, you open up and give up Matisse and Furkan for Lu Dort or whatever.
So I'm not saying that is a realistic trade. Yeah. I'm saying
like you get him for,
I think the value in a trade for Lu Dort is less than what it would be for Josh Hart. I don't think the Sixers can get either of them, but I think that he would be more gettable. Also, they just made him an unrestricted free agent so they can extend him, I think. So it's moot.
Okay.
Do you think that we should be prepared for how much of the MLE last year did they use? I know they gave like some but not all to Niang, right? And then maybe a little to Bassey.
The tax MLE, they gave it to Bassey and Niang last year.
So is it possible that they would reserve like $2 million of the BAE to avoid hard cap and go into the year with some?
Well, they can't if they use the full MLE, which they're going to on
top. Okay.
It sounds like. I mean, it's possible they try to just like get just below it so that they're not hard capped. But if they do a sign-in trade, they're hard capped. If they use the full BAE, they're hard capped. If they use the full MLE, they're hard capped. So
they
one
may
way,
as well use all the BAE.
Yeah. I mean, one way or another, they're probably going to get hard capped unless they like go up to the brink on every single one, which would be a Morey move because I don't think his teams like ever get hard cap, just generally speaking. But all right, let's move on to, before we get into the DeJounte stuff, the KCP for Monte Morris and Will Barton trade that happened today. Ishmith was also involved, but we don't really need to talk about Ishmith being part of it. Although he 13 teams, he broke the NBA record for the most teams ever. Congrats to Ish Smith. Very exciting. Sixers legend. What do you think of this trade? KCP going to the Nuggets for Monte Morris. You're a Nuggets guy, but you also like the Wizards. So what do you think about it from the Nuggets perspective and from the Wizards perspective?
So I can't remember the last time Denver had a player that was capable of guarding shooting guards and small forwards to the point where KCP was built up to almost this mythical figure in the Denver Nugget psyche. But he really does fix the biggest flaw that this team had. Like, he's easily the best perimeter defender that we've had. Aaron Gordon's too slow to keep up with the guys that KCP can. And then you pair that with his shooting. He's, what, 38, 39%. And he's not one of those guys that falls off in the playoffs. He's shot really well consistently to high-level playmakers like LeBron. So I'm extremely, extremely excited about the prospect of Jokic being surrounded by tall defenders. I feel like Booth has been lusting for these guys just like the fan base has, and kind of just threw away Connolly's philosophy of stacking up the small guards, like we talked about on the last stream. There is reporting, though, that at the deadline, Denver could have done a Barton for KCP deal straight up.
Oh, wow.
Which, if that's true, it's a pretty big indictment on the previous front office. They didn't get that done. And you had to throw in Monte, who was a really, really good, maybe the best backup point guard in the NBA, right? So it wasn't like they gave up nothing. He was also the culture of the Nuggets, right? Like, everybody has that guy that kind of holds up the team. So it sucked to see him go. Barton's time was over. I know Sixers fans have wanted Barton for a little bit now. You and I have talked about that. He's good. He just breaks down.
Yeah. And to be fair, I only wanted him because I just never wanted to watch Matisse Thybulle play basketball again. That was more so that. And I was like, maybe we can trick a team to give us like a solid player back.
It's a tasteful version of Terrence Ross Sixers, if you will.
Yeah, basically. It's flirting. Will Barton on the Sixers. Harassment. Terrence Ross on the Sixers. He's not that bad. Come on.
I will say, though, people...
Oh. Dash froze again.
He was about to say Terrence Ross isn't that bad.
No, he was not going to say that because I would have to kick him from the stream, actually. I think Dash, you're back. I think what you were about to say was the reaction to this trade was that there was a massive overpay from the Denver Nuggets, I assume.
Well, that, and I was going to say one big flaw of KCP's is he takes more mid-range shots than Will Barton even did. And that was a big frustration with watching Denver play was, oh, Barton's creating a shot too much. KCP loves that shit from the elbow, right? So that's going to be an adjustment. The overpay, yeah, the Hollinger freaks thought this was a tax-dodging maneuver. I mean, it saved Denver, what, $3 million? They would have to release Jeff Green and renounce all the other free agents to get under the tax. Like, it's not happening. Yeah. I guess if it's a question of how much of the tax you're paying, sure, maybe. But they got better for the playoffs, which is what you guys were talking about earlier. Do you want the players like Barton and Monte that get you through the regular season? They create their shots. But then in the playoffs, they can't hang on defense, right? KCP can. So is it an overpay? Maybe. But it puts Denver in a better position to win than they had been pretty much in the Jokic era. So I'm fine with it if it wasn't overpay.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I looked at it. You give up, you know, like having Monte Morris is nice, and it's a good thing to have in the regular season. Not great in the playoffs. He's a guy who can only play one position, really. Like you said, Will Barton seemingly – sorry, I'm hearing myself echo here. I don't know if anyone can hear that, but yeah, I can hear it.
A little bit.
Yeah. There should be echo cancellation in the settings. You guys might be able to see. Hold on. Can you check on your settings? Because it's going to drive me nuts.
I have the echo cancellation on.
What the fuck? Why is this happening? Yeah.
I got to run anyway. Maybe it's me. And if I bounce, it'll help. But just do me a favor, give some thought to Kevin Knox on that last roster.
No, absolutely not. I'm gonna kick you from the stream.
kick me out. Kick me out. I'm gonna bring him up again, and we can say you kicked me out for this. So you know, maybe there's some upside there, and
I didn't even kick him. He left. All right. So
I have a question for either of you. Have you seen this Amani Bates news from earlier today?
I have heard the Amani Bates
news. What the fuck's up with that?
Dude, no
Eastern
one wants
Michigan?
Him.
Are you shitting me, dude? Is John Calipari just cooked? Is he just over?
I don't think Calipari wanted the fucking circus that is Amone Bates, right? Would you?
Listen, like, if I'm like Shaheen Holloway at Seton Hall, like, I'd actually shit myself for Amone Bates. That would be, like, the greatest recruit Seton Hall has gotten, like, in maybe 40 years. Like, that's just a crazy win.
So, I do just want to say, I had a friend who is down very bad today because he told me about Amone Bates 3 years ago and said he was the next Kevin Durant and would send me videos all the time. And now we're on Amone Bates' second school, 2 years, Memphis, Eastern Kentucky, maybe G League Ignite next year. Yeah, is he even projected to go in the first round anymore next year?
Yeah, he's still like, I think he's the 14th pick on Tankathon.
I looked at it earlier and I didn't even see him on Tankathon.
Dude, I don't think that he's a first round guy anymore.
Hold on.
That's crazy to me. But
no, he's not on, like,
he's not on the, I thought he was the 14th pick.
No, I see Amari Bailey. I know him. Didn't Drake date his mom? Hold on.
Yes, Drake did date.
Oh, him. That's the Sierra Canyon kid. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They replaced him with Grady Smith, Dick, dude. Grady Dick? Come on.
Have you seen a picture of him?
Grady Dick?
Yeah.
No, but now I have to Google him. Hold on. Can I Google Grady Dick and not end up on a list? Hold on. What? The long neck guy?
Yeah, dude, his neck is huge.
What's going on here? This is a lottery pick? White Americans are so back, dude. It's unbelievable.
Okay.
Wow. I'm going to bring him up on the screen.
Is this the kid that guarded Zion in that video?
This is who he grew up to be, Parm.
That's not a joke. Like, I'm actually curious. Is that the kid?
Hold on. Let me see. This is the person that we're talking about here. Long neck. It's unbelievable. How is this guy a lottery pick?
That's crazy, dude.
Dude, apparently he's the best shooter in the class by, like, a lot. Right. I haven't watched him play, but.
Jeez. He honestly looks like a 80s, like, high school movie villain. And I'm very excited to see this man attempt to play in the NBA eventually. So that's amazing right there.
Vecini loves him.
Who does? Vecini?
Vecini loves him.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. God, I gotta trust.
I know.
I gotta trust Vecini here, I guess. Oh my
God. This is my second L, by the way.
He what?
This is my second L of the Parm's picks recruits process. Because I have Amani going to fucking Eastern Michigan, and then my boy Sadrak Naganga committed to fucking Boise State. Why are you even a five-star recruit if you're going to go to Boise State? What's wrong with you?
Sometimes I think you just make up names to fuck with.
No, he's look him up. Look him up.
Googling that name.
He's a real guy. Hold on.
I'm so glad that our conversation about the Kentavious Caldwell-Pope trade ended us talking about a guy named, I don't even want to attempt to offend anyone by.
Oh, they dropped him. Okay. He's only a 4-star now. Okay.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. He's a 4-star. That's what everyone was worried about.
You're playing at Boise State. What are you doing? Come on. That's all right. Stinky.
All right. We got to get back to this trade here. I like this trade for the Nuggets because of everything you said. Also, like, I do feel like people's thought on this whole point guard thing, like Monte Morris is a good point guard, don't get me wrong, but this idea that, like, every team needs a point guard when, like, they have, like, Bradley Beal or Jokic, like, obviously Jokic is way better than Beal, but, like, when you have guys who are creators in their own right, the NBA has just evolved past the point where every team needs a table-setting point guard like Monte Morris. And, like, it's not to say that Monte isn't a good player, a useful player, but I do feel like a lot of these times when guys get moves that are just strictly point guards, that a lot of the time, like, the John Wall thing with the Clippers, like, everyone's like, oh, they need a point guard. And I'm like, do they really? Like, they have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and a bunch of shooters and defenders around them. Like, I think that they would be fine if they could just stay healthy. And I feel as though losing like a reliable backup point guard, like you said, sucks in the regular season. But you, now you have a trustworthy guy that you can play in the playoffs. Barton, as you said, he's just not available. KCP is never hurt. That is like a massive upgrade in terms of availability at the wing position, which is what Denver needs. And one of the things that they talked about was getting like, just like, we're going to focus on getting defenders. They got your favorite prospect in the draft, Christian Braun.
Dude, got to give a shout out real quick to CT, who has been talking about Christian Brown. Remember, it's not Brown. It's
Fuck,
Brown.
I always forget.
For some odd reason, he has been talking about Brown for like 6 months, and it was just the thing I wanted the least to happen. And of course, Denver took him, and I have to hope that he succeeds, even though I always want to be right. But yeah, man, the new vision is 6'5 wings who have negative wingspans but defend the fuck out of the ball. I don't know why both these guys have negative wingspans. I didn't know KCP's was so small.
Oh, I didn't know KCP had a negative wingspan.
I don't know if it's negative, but
it's like close enough.
Yeah,
like,
let's see.
Not JJ Redick.
Oh, no. Damn, I was misled. It's not that bad. It's 6'7.
It's like a farm. Please hold that up again.
I was asked to spell his name. You asked me. Here it is. Sadrok Nagonga, Boise State. Keep a note.
Oh, it's unbelievable. All right. Quick question, Trill. Can the Sixers get Eric Gordon with aggregated salary, Thibel, Cork salary, and still sign PJ for the full MLA? Well, the quick answer to that is no, because they don't have enough salary to get to Eric Gordon's number anymore. Eric Gordon makes $17 million next year, I think. Even if they included Niang in there, like, you're talking about a 4-for-1 swap. Like, it just wouldn't work. It would be, you'd have to maneuver a lot, and it's just not worth it for Eric Gordon. I honestly can't really see that happening. But yeah, I like the move for Denver. I didn't really understand the reaction that they got like fucking fleeced or whatever, like everyone said. But for Washington, like, to have fun in the play-in, I guess that's kind of the vision, and that's what will continue to be there. So let's move on to the other trade that happened, which is a much bigger name involved, DeJounte Murray to the Hawks. I don't know. They got three. Did Dash just leave?
I assume this was a correcting.
He's pissed.
Freeze measure, maybe offended by my love of Boise State athletics. Yeah.
No, it's all good. So, Parm, what do you think of the DeJounte to the Hawks move? Because they gave up three future firsts.
Mm-hmm. One of them's not theirs, though.
One of them is the Hornets next year's Hornets pick. And then three future Dash is a figment of your imagination. It's true. Three future first. One is a swap, and then two of them are picks, mm-hmm. and all three of them are unprotected in like 25, 26, and 27, I believe, mm-hmm. which is, if you're the Hawks, it's definitely a gamble to make. You're hoping that Trae Young has a long career and he stays in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to make Trae happy. So they get him DeJounte, who's his boy. I don't know. Everyone seems to be like best backcourt in the East. Like, sure. I'm just not like a big DeJounte Murray guy. Like, I think he's good, but I also think that, and like, he's still young. So like, yeah, maybe he could get better. Maybe he's on a trajectory where he's one of those guys that in his late 20s, he peaks, and his early 30s, like, mm-hmm. who knows? But like, I don't get the fit offensively with those two.
I think it's an upgrade over what they're doing already in a way.
Sure.
That's true. That's a little crazy. Yeah. Giving four first round picks to DeJounte is a little nuts.
Yeah, for the 35th best player in the NBA or whatever DeJounte Murray is.
That being said, like, you gotta get the fucking guy a star. It's him and like role players forever.
Yeah.
For like his entire career, it's been him and sure. what I would call like premier quality role players, like Clint sure. Capella and John Collins.
For sure.
Bogdanovich.
Yeah. Like, you know? It's all like high level role players, but no second mm-hmm. star. And DeJounte, at least, I guess the one thing about DeJounte is like, if he doesn't have the ball, he's not super effective because he's not a floor spacer. Like, he's not, and like, it's not like he's big enough where he can do like big things. Like, he's not going to be screening and rolling. Like, he's just kind of like, if he doesn't have the ball, you're just like, you're somewhat able to ignore him, but he has enough off the dribble juice that you just can't like completely ignore him. Like, you would hope that he just gets better as like a corner 3-point shooter mm-hmm. and he can work on that part of his game. And if that happens, then it's a totally fine fit for me. But I also, I'm just like, he's 25. Like, he's always been a below average 3-point shooter. Trey is, when he doesn't have the ball, he's Harden. Like, he just doesn't care. And
if they can make him just do a little JJ Redick shit,
yeah,
just like not like the whole game, like not like completely losing his ability to be the point guard. Like, he is clearly the point guard on this team going forward. But like, right. They're gonna have to take the ball out of his hands a little bit with this move,
right?
I think the more interesting thing though is like, they're not. They must be getting just hot dog shit for John Collins.
I know. That's like, they must be getting nothing for him. Like, San Antonio didn't even, like, San Antonio couldn't even find a third team to send him to and get back draft picks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is funny because I felt like everyone's opinion on John Collins was extremely high right before mm-hmm. they extended him. And now he's been extended. He wants out again. And it's like, they might just not even be able to find a fucking I don't even, someone said interested to see what they can get for Collins. I don't even know if he gets traded now. Like, I don't think they're just going to move him just to move him. Like, the idea behind like trading him for like Rudy Gobert with picks is out the window now, or whoever was the idea of the other guy they're going to get. Like, they're not going to get Ayton. They're not going to get
Gobert. Though.
Why?
I think it's at the point where with just John Collins and Ayton, it's been so public that like their team just doesn't give a shit about their existence for months. Yeah. So I think like the bridge might be just completely burnt to a crisp. True. And like, you have to just make that swap happen just because like they can't stay there anymore.
Yeah, no, that's actually not a bad point. It's just like, here's our disgruntled guy for your disgruntled guy. You don't want to pay him. We don't want to pay him this much. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we could come to some sort of resolution where we get John Collins and a pick or whatever, and you get DeAndre Ayton. And I'm still just like, yeah. The Spurs got offered John Collins and said, nah, we'll take Danilo Gallinari instead. But keep in mind, the Spurs, why I like this more from the Spurs point of view, and maybe I'm just too process brain, but like, 2023 draft is going to be fucking ridiculous. Like, it's going to be, everyone says this is like the best draft since like 2018. Mm-hmm. So you have like a potentially generational draft next year. If you're the Spurs, you don't even have to do the OKC Philly process thing where you tank for like 3 years or 4 years. Like, you can literally just go like, we're going to tank for the most important year to tank and try to get Victor Wembanyama or one of the Thompson twins or Scoot Henderson or Cam Whitmore or one of these guys at the top mm-hmm. of the draft that, you know, someone always falls and someone always rises. But like, if we can get one of these like crazy good prospects, then like, yeah, the Spurs just killed their draft this year. I thought they did a great job. They got Sohan, Bronham, Wesley. Like, I liked mm-hmm. a lot of their picks. I like the fact that they're just taking risks on guys. They're gonna let they've gotten rid of their old core. Like, everyone was like, why would you trade a 25-year-old and get back? And I'm like, DeJounte Murray's good, but he's not good enough to make mm-hmm. he's not good enough to change your franchise. Yeah. And if your goal is to contend, he's never going to be the number one on a contender. So moving him at the peak of his value after he just got better, made his first all-star team as a replacement, by the way, mm-hmm. all that stuff. Like, it, I think it's kind of a smart move from the Spurs just to be like, fuck it, let's reset. And then we can just do like a quick rebuild. And then in a few years, we can be like, just be as most the most relevant we've been mm-hmm. since Kawhi left.
Yeah, I like. This is not a tanking organization. They're a little bit of they have a little Pacers West in them where they try to compete with whatever dog shit roster they have. That's been their MO for like the last 6-7 years.
For sure.
Dejounte Murray doesn't even get you to the fucking playoffs.
Yep.
Like, it's not even that he doesn't make you a contender. He doesn't even just get you to the show. He doesn't even get you like postseason games. Like, you can't hang on to that guy on a max forever. That's not, you're not going to get anywhere. That's how you become the Kings.
Right. And right now he's valuable because he makes what, $17 million a year, but mm-hmm. like, it's not valuable to a team like the Spurs because the Spurs aren't good. Like, it's valuable to a team like the Hawks because now it's like, all right, maybe we have this year and next year to make some big mm-hmm. splash moves while DeJounte's still on that contract. Trey's at the beginning of his max extension. Like, maybe we can make some moves around whatever, and we'll just give up. Like, we're not giving up any of the guys. I would imagine that this means that one of probably Kevin Huerter's gone, maybe Bogdan Bogdanovic. Like, you can't pay Trey, Bogdanovic, Huerter, and Murray. Like, I feel like they got to move out one, unless they're moving John Collins, and we just don't know it yet.
I feel like there's maybe you're getting this slop, and I'm not because I'm not in the loop.
It kind of feels a little bit to me like
teams are waiting for the other shoe to drop for the Clippers. For
sure. Okay,
because like, I want to believe Kawhi Leonard's going to be fine. Like, he's going to come back like KD, and it's going to be like nothing ever happened. Yeah. But if he comes back looking like Clay, there's not a chance that like they're going to get rid of Paul George. Like, Paul George will be traded if he doesn't come. If Kawhi Leonard doesn't come back and he's not Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi. Yeah.
If he is just like as good as TJ Warren was before he got hurt, you know, like, just like whatever, they're going to get rid of him. There's no reason to keep him. They have no picks. They need to like recoup any value that they have.
Right. Wow. I didn't even think of that. I mean, to be fair, I would say all of the Clippers moves have indicated the opposite, which is like, fuck it. We're just going to hope that Kawhi's okay. And if he's not okay, we're fucked. So we might as well just get as much possible, spend all of our money on get every possible good veteran in a trade, get guys in free agency, overpay to keep them. Yeah. Steve Ballmer doesn't care. He has more money than fucking God. Mm-hmm. And their whole thing is basically just like, let's just try to stay in the moment so that if Kawhi and Paul George are healthy at the right time and it all lines up, then we'll be like championship contenders, if not championship favorites. But it all hinges on like Kawhi, who's 30 now, 31, like with a degenerative knee disorder coming off a torn ACL.
Yeah, he's got
like,
the Todd Gurley knees, sadly.
I know. It is scary. I didn't even think of that element, which I don't think the teams would be in a holding pattern, but because I just think that like whenever like a guy like Paul George or Donovan Mitchell, whoever the next guy would become available, that like teams like the Hawks were never going to be in contention for those guys anyway. You know what I mean? Like teams like the teams that like the Heat are the team that like will be like, oh, we're not making moves because we know X star is going to ask out in a year and Miami's always on the list.
You don't think, I think in this specific instance, given what we know about Paul George,
oh yeah, he might
and his like and his Atlanta. and his love affair with strip clubs, he may entertain being an Atlanta Hawk.
It's definitely possible. I mean, I do think that Atlanta seems fun. I've never really understood why Atlanta isn't a free agent destination. It's in the South. It's a cool city. It's pretty cheap from what I've heard. And like, you can like, the reason why players loved Houston was because there were no taxes. They could literally get these fucking mansions and like ranches and shit and like just live like fucking kings. But for some reason, Atlanta, which is like a cool younger city that has a lot of shit going on, like,
you know, that shit there too. That's Atlanta, what Michael Vick did, didn't he?
What did he do? What did Michael Vick do?
Wasn't Michael Vick, like, didn't he have, like, the giant, like, big compound thing? Isn't that where, like, where his shit was located when they arrested him?
So you're saying that
not the rest of the Michael Vick part, but like the large, you know, parcel of property that you could acquire for a reasonable price that's able to be done in the Atlanta area.
Yeah.
The rest of it, that's
so. Here's your pitch. If you're the Atlanta Hawks pitching free agents in 2003. Michael Vick had this compound. Everything he was doing there was terrible. And you shouldn't do that
Don't
part.
Do that. But,
the land is pretty cool.
Have a horse.
you can have a horse, no taxes. Or I don't know what Georgia's taxes are like, but I'm assuming it's a Republican state, so they don't have taxes. Hold on. Who's signing up to play with Jeff Teague or Paul Millsap? Yeah, Atlanta has been mid for years. And also, we do have to talk about the fact and maybe DeJounte and Trey are friends, so they'll be able to, like, be cool. Mm-hmm. But there is the element of, like, John Collins. Everyone seems to hate playing with Trae Young. Like, even when they were winning, like, it instantly went away, like, right when they started losing again. Like, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh, the vibes are crazy. They're good. Mm-hmm. And then now they all hate each other again.
I don't know if I fault Trey.
You think it's John Collins?
Yeah, because I think John Collins, like, I don't know. Like, you're not the reason this team is in the playoffs, my guy. Right. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Like,
yeah.
If you were the best player on this team, you'd win 25 games.
Right. So like, that's the thing is like that. So like Trey is arrogant and annoying, but he's has a reason to be. He's Trae Young. Like he's really fucking good.
Yeah, you got to hand it to the guy. Like you're not cutting the mustard until I see like unless I see you start to like jack up 50-foot threes. Like
yeah, he has Jeremy Grant syndrome. John Collins, but he's not even as good of a on ball guy as Jeremy Grant.
I also think Jeremy Grant has good vibes. I think he just wanted to ball.
True. He just wanted to hoop. Yeah. He does seem actually way chiller than John Collins for sure.
Like I couldn't imagine like on like if the roles were reversed, do I think John Collins is gonna sit in the Detroit Pistons like media room after getting blown out by like 45 points and go like, you know, I don't blame the young guys, you know, they're inexperienced. That's on me. This blowout performance because it's not on Killian Hayes getting 4 points and 12 turnovers. No, that's on me. I'm the veteran leader of this squad.
Yeah, I could never see John Collins like, doing that.
That's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I also think that, like, there was someone who, a Hawks fan who tweeted at me earlier who said that Trey was in the 97th percentile for being an off-ball guard. And I was like, how do you even quantify that? I don't think that...
Is that a stat?
No. I mean, look, I said he's like Harden. He's not Harden bad off the ball, but he certainly preserves all of his energy for on-the-ball stuff, which is fine when you're fucking amazing on the ball, but also having some variety to your offense can help, especially come playoff time when defenses can kind of figure out things throughout the course of a series and you need to be able to have a counter.
Yeah, like that. That's why I said if he could, he's just got to be sit in the lab with Mr. Vestibules, dude.
Yeah. Okay, that was me. It was Resonato just said, I don't understand. Yeah, CJ, it must have been a 10 possession sample size. What? How do you quantify how good someone is off the ball? So Steph Curry, I would imagine, is the greatest off ball player by a wide margin, according to this stat, right? Because you can't quantify Steph Curry's off-ball impact because he's sprinting around screens and you have two defenders with your eyes on him at all times to the point where Andrew Wiggins and Draymond Green are getting open layups. Like, that's what I'm saying is, like, you can talk about how good someone is off the ball, but you can't rely on a stat for that. It has to be an eye test thing, I feel like.
That's a good point. A lot of it must have to do with the fact that you have to pick the guy up at the logo.
Oh, absolutely. Trey's amazing. I'm not like isn't anything against Trey. Trey, I said the other day, I think Trey's like a top 5 offensive player in the league. Like he's unbelievable. But at the same time, like, it's not in the team's best interest to put Trey off the ball for a ton of possessions because you're trying to get DeJounte Murray more reps, who isn't as good at orchestrating offense as Trey Young. Now, you don't want to do it every possession, and maybe DeJounte runs backup units and it gives you a little bit more fluidity, but like, I just don't really buy DeJounte as like this secondary creator guy, because most good secondary creators have pull-up ability. They have the ability to space the floor when they don't have the ball, so they can attack closeouts. They can keep the ball moving, keep the defense in rotation. Like, I look at DeJounte as a guy like who needs the ball and doesn't really justify the reps when you have a legitimate offensive superstar like Trey Young. Like, that's just kind of my whole thing. But then again, like, defensively, he's going to, if you just put a ton of defenders around Trey, it's definitely going to help you on that end. I mean, it helped them in the Sixers series. Like, all those guys, except for even Herter's defense, honestly, is not bad. Like, most of those guys could hang defensively. And because of that, and also the Sixers were so limited offensively that, like, that was not a bad formula. So who knows? Maybe it will be really good. I just am like, I want to see it in action before I make it. Feels like one of those things that's going to be really good in the regular season and not translate to the playoffs, is what I'm trying to say.
I am looking for these statistics and they do not look real. I'm sorry to report, this seems to be fake news.
What, the stats?
I don't know what fucking stat this is, because I'm looking at, like, I'm just looking at his shot. Like, he only 5.3% of his shots total come from a catch and shoot.
Right. That's an extremely small sample. Yeah. Also, Trey's a really good shooter off the catch. He just doesn't have many opportunities.
Yeah, he just doesn't. Yeah, the percentage is fucking insane. Like, he's 48% from three off the catch, but right, he just never does it.
Right. I mean,
whereas 60% of those shots are pull-ups.
Yeah. That's been Harden's thing throughout his whole career. He shoots one catch and shoot three a game. And like, playing with Joel Embiid, that doesn't work because you need to be a fucking gunner off of the catch. And it's just something that a lot of on-ball guys don't really like. Luka, Trey, Harden, they're all kind of from that same class of creator where they're so used to being so good on the ball that when they're off the ball, they preserve their energy, which makes sense when you're trying to run like your heliocentric offense or whatever. But being a little bit more active and moving around is like, you know, like sure, like that will be that, like, that would be the key when DeJounte has the ball. But like, unless, like you said, like, you can get him involved in some movement shooting action where you're running Trey off a screen, which, like, by the way, like, as great as Trey is, like, all of his advantage creation comes from like him being like a fucking wizard passer, great handle, all of those things. And those things aren't really available. Like, other than Steph Curry, the movement shooter type guys we're talking about, Duncan Robinson, Klay Thompson, JJ Redick, they're all tall. Like even Seth Curry, who I love, was like not the greatest movement shooter off of screens. Like, he could run those actions with Embiid, but he would have to get his feet set to take those shots. Like, maybe you could figure out a way to run some two-man actions with Trey and DeJounte, I guess. But, like, I don't know.
Don't the Hawks run that fucking really strange pick-and-roll, pick-and-pop play where they throw two guys to be the screeners on either side?
Yeah,
and Trey just goes, what am I going to do?
Right.
This Celtics, one or this one? And then he just picks one and shoots.
Yeah, the Celtics used to do that with Kemba Walker a lot, too. But like, that once again on the ball, like, we'll see, we'll need that. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Horns, that's what it's called. That's right. Trey needs that first counter, second counter, third counter, dribble pull up, two dribble. That's so true. Ability to get to your spots, that's the entire bag. He has it though. He has that. That's what he is. We pick and pop from like 40 feet, is what he said. That's what, like, if you have Trey Young, just let Trey cook, baby. That's my thing, is like, I'm not worried about getting DeJounte. Like, if anything, DeJounte should be in the gym this summer becoming a 40% catch and shoot three-point shooter. If that happens, the Hawks are going to be fucking awesome. And the Hawks are going to be really hard to beat. So.
I wonder what you do with the rest of this team now, too. Because I feel like, do they have to keep the rest of the team?
Well, he just said they can't, in the comments, they can't get off the Bogdan contract I think he only has what? Does he have
the Bogdanovich deal left? Fine though.
Yeah, but I think so.
He has 1 year. He signed a 4-year deal, but his knees are fucked up.
Yeah, like him, I'm fine with. It's more of the big men.
Yeah,
like it's just like because now you can. They had it was rumored for both of their big men to be gone. And now neither of them are likely going to go.
Yeah. Well, unless, that's the thing. Like, I don't think that anyone foresaw the Rudy Gobert trade market and the DeAndre Ayton trade market both collapsing because no one had any interest.
Yeah, that's the fact that the fucking Hornets aren't like trying to make this happen for one of them is crazy to me.
It is kind of like... A LaMelo Rudy Gobert pick and roll would be very hard to defend.
Yeah. Also, like the Jazz love that.
Yeah.
They'll sell a fucking shitload of Gordo jerseys, baby. They'll sell so many of them. The prodigal son's back in town.
Back to the motherland in the hill. Back, you know? Reunited with Danny Ainge in the hill.
In the tabernacle, dude. Hanging out.
I also think like. A lot of the criticisms of Rudy Gobert's game, to a lesser extent, DeAndre Ayton's game, are based on the fact that, like, the playoffs. And, like, the Hornets don't have to worry about that. The teams that are acquiring him don't have to worry about that because they're in the play-in every year. So, if you want to get to the playoffs, then Rudy will help you. He'll make your defense pretty fucking good, and you'll probably be in the playoffs.
Also, it's like, I don't know, that... I know that Rudy is super limited. Like I've said before, like please learn one post move.
Yeah.
Just one. Yeah. But like I have to think like there has to be a silver lining of just getting him out of a system that is just that stagnant.
Right.
And like the Hornets are kind of nutty. Like they're pretty, yeah. Like, you know, they got a lot of hoopers on that team. Like Kelly Oubre blows fucking Bojan Bogdanovic and Joe Ingles out of the water in terms
Miles
of
Bridges, ability. Kelly Oubre, LaMelo Ball, like James Terry Rozier. Oh, James Bouknight might be. He's apparently got hurt again.
Wait, really?
He had to have surgery. He's not playing in Summer League.
Oh, Christ. That's tough, dude. He had a really bad year, too.
Bad start to his career so far. But yeah, PJ Washington, it sounds like he's going to end up staying with the Hornets. I mean, I don't hear any moves. I have not heard a whisper about any moves that's regarding that. But then again, I haven't heard whispers about certain moves. I didn't hear about the Melton thing till it happened. So sometimes teams are just really good at keeping these things under wraps. Before we get out of here, we already talked about the Pistons thing. I don't really care. The Pistons got a cap space dump so that the Knicks could get Jalen Brunson. They'll probably trade Nerlens Noel and Alec Burks at the
Knicks deadline. Making me want to cry because they refuse to get DeAndre Ayton. They refuse to be in the mix.
I mean,
I put a whole graphic together. Tells you everything you need to know. Him and Patrick Ewing are the same.
Number one overall picks. Both from the Caribbean.
Both played college in the United States of America, you know?
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. They could get their next Patrick Ewing.
Here's the thing. How outrageous of a trade package would it require for the Knicks to get both DeAndre Ayton and John Collins?
With they what have to John give Collins up Randall, going for, but nothing. Who else? Well, they haven't given up. Well, first off, I don't think anyone wants Randall's contract, but like they have not given up. They just got 3 first round picks for 1 first round pick. Mm-hmm. Like they have a ton of picks. Like that's not an issue for them at all. I think they have the Mavs first next year. They have all of their own first. They just got 3 at the draft. Like the Knicks, the Brunson thing, like I don't really get that move, but like, if they know that Donovan Mitchell is asking out next offseason, if they know that any star is going to become available,
that's true.
They have the best package immediately in whether it's RJ Barrett, or if it's a move like the Spurs, where the Spurs just wanted draft picks for DeJounte Murray, you got all these fucking draft picks to send, and you can just get that star. Like, I think that what the Knicks are doing in that regard is smart. And, like, look, Brunson just proved to be...
Are they really going to do that again, though?
Who, what's that?
Are they going to do that shit again, too, now?
With what?
Are they going to trade for Carmelo Anthony twice? Are they going to trade? Are they going to trade everything they have for an all-star from the Mountain Time Zone and fuck their whole team up again?
I'm sorry, you're going to have to run that one back. I spaced for a second.
Because they got rid of. Because they already are they going to repeat the Melo trade?
Oh,
where they got they drafted Danilo Gallinari.
Sure.
When he was on the Knicks. Like legitimate, like he was good. A star. Like he was really good until he hurt himself.
Yeah, I know. That's Gallo probably would have had multiple All Star appearances if he never got hurt.
And they traded him and like a million fucking picks for Melo.
Yeah,
and
because Masai was like, "We're making this trade now." And then
you ever heard the story about that too?
No.
He had Melo. He made Melo sit in the GM office while the trade was going down. Like, he was just, like, Carmelo Anthony and his agent were just, like, in the room while they were negotiating his value.
While Masai really was running the Nuggets?
Yeah. Like, it was, really wild. Like, apparently, like, that's, like, a big no-no. You don't do that because it makes you look like a real shithead because you're,
real psycho, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Masai doesn't care about that stuff. Masai's friends with, like, Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, he thinks he's, like, you know, he has the suit and tie. Like, everyone in Toronto... you know what I mean.
He doesn't care about disrespecting Melo. He's friends with Obama.
Fuck you, Melo. Masai's got an entire fucking propaganda from an entire nation of people that is just like, we can never criticize this man. He's got it made. He's got part ownership.
He sleeps on a cot in the stadium, apparently. That was from like that was an article. I think it was like Tyler Tynes did a thing where he like followed Masai around during a day at work for the Raptors. And like sometimes he'll just like live at the stadium and he has like a little cot that he pulls out and sleeps on.
He's like Kanye when he was making
Donda. Exactly. Yes.
Masai's like, okay, I just want to say, why? Because Masai doesn't do anything. I'm just going to put it out there. Masai has a good scouting team that he works with, and he does all of that. But, like, they didn't even have a first-round pick this year. They got your boy Christian.
Yes.
Christian Coloco. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Good
pick for them.
What's that?
That's a great pick for them.
Very good value second-round pick for sure. I'm not saying that he doesn't he doesn't make trades. He makes like one trade every 2 years because he overvalues his guys to the point where he wanted Josh Hart, the 7th pick, and Nasir Little for OG Anunoby, which I was like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Have you consider that he respects and supports Ukraine by signing Svi Mykhailiuk and giving him money to not play basketball?
So that was his way.
Yeah, that's his. Like, we stand. We stand for Ukraine. Here's $1.5 million for Svi Mykhailiuk.
Yeah, I mean, look, I respect the fact that he's spreading money or he's doing wealth redistribution around the world. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. What I'm saying is that Masai doesn't make trades. They never sign free agents that are actually meaningful free agent signings. Like, what does he do? Like, he's just like, we're just gonna draft guys in the late first, early second, and then we'll have our development staff develop them, and then that's it. They traded for Thad Young. Why did they trade their first round pick for Thad Young? Like, did we ever
get an explanation on that? Because that's an awesome move, and it also just kind of shafts the Sixers, which I love. I kind of like.
Look,
I kind of like Masai does that.
I love Thad Young. But also, Thad Young is 34 years old.
Yeah.
On an expiring contract. Why are you trading a mid-first-round pick for him? Okay, think about it like this. How would you feel about the Raptors if they came out of that draft with Tari Eason and Christian Coloco?
Oh, that would be a home run.
Well, they could have done that if they traded for Thad Young.
Who did they get rid of to get Thad Young as well, though? Did they get rid of someone?
Warren Dragic, who they refused to buy out of his contract. So
yeah.
I feel like they felt like obligated to use the Goran Dragic contract to get mm-hmm. someone back.
Maybe it's also like, because I feel like this is a thing that like, and I might be wrong, but this to me feels like a major discrepancy between teams that are good and teams that are like just clown show awful.
Yeah.
Good teams try their darndest to never have dead cap on the books.
Okay.
And will do anything to not have that dead cap.
Just keep the cycle going.
Yeah. So like, but you like, lose are they a gonna, pick, what are but he doesn't have to.
What are they going to re-sign Thad Young for, though, is the question. Are you going to overpay Thad Young?
Like, he probably gets what? Like, I would think he's, like, PJ Tucker-esque sure. money. Like,
sure, he'll get $10 million next year. Yeah. But also, like, look, love Raptors Twitter, Spidey senses are tingling. They will hopefully never see this and find out where I live. But I do just think that what was it? Thad Young, we love Thad, but like PJ Tucker was playing real minutes in the Eastern Conference Finals. When was the last time Thad Young played a meaningful minute of basketball in his career? PJ Tucker was a starter for a finals team, a team that won the title 2 years ago, made it to multiple Eastern Conference or Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, Finals. Thad Young hasn't played a meaningful basketball game, arguably, since he was on the Sixers, the Pacers. Like, what team was he on that played meaningful? But like, he wasn't good in the playoffs.
Were the Bulls still shitty when he was there?
Okay, hold on. They were still shitty. Yeah, hold on. Please read these comments in succession.
Troll gonna end up like Jimmy Hoffa, more like Jimmy Sloppa. This is I'm glad you will see yourself out. I'm glad you will.
Yes, thank you, William Farrow. Raptors fans, I know a few cool Raptors fans and Raptors media people, but Raptors Twitter has reached a level of no return. My new favorite, actually, before I do want to wrap up the stream soon, but before that, my new favorite Twitter is Rockets Twitter, which I don't know if you've ever dove deep into Rockets Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But it is they're pretty propaganda heavy in a way that I didn't know because I didn't really follow them during the Harden more years, but I'm sure that they were batshit insane during those years because this is a franchise of a group of fans that hyped up Paolo Banchero, who, by the way, mm-hmm. sure, should have went number one, maybe was the best prospect, but they were talking him up when they thought they were getting him at three. It was like, we're getting LeBron James, we're getting the next LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Like, talk him up all over, and then it comes out Paolo's going one.
Mm-hmm.
They get Jabari, and they have to take back all the shit that they talked on Jabari Smith.
This is true. That being said, I've been obsessed with Rockets Twitter the last 2 months because I just that's a team that's just, oh man, is that fucking loaded with Parm's picks. Baby fits so many Parm's picks in it. Josh Christopher, is like the ninth man on that team. That's insane.
So other than Josh Christopher, who do you have any, are you a Şengün guy?
I like Şengün. You know, I am the number one biggest fan of Usman Garuba.
Sure.
Love He's Usman. The GOAT. I think Jalen Green's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's cool. Were you a Ty Ty guy? Do you like Ty Ty?
I do like Ty Ty. I like Bruno Fernando.
Is he still on the team?
I think he might be a free agent now. But like I wish Bruno Fernando was good.
Didn't we
because
draft
he'd be
him?
So awesome if he was actually good.
Didn't we draft Bruno Fernando and trade him on draft night? I think we did. I think the Sixers drafted him. I think it was like the when we drafted Costas Antetokounmpo, though.
Correctamundo. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. We traded him to the Hawks for a future second, I think. If I remember. It was like one of those. And then we traded that for like Josh Richardson. We traded Josh Richardson with that for Seth Curry.
Oh, are you fucking kidding me, dude? We traded this. We traded Bruno Fernando for Isaac Bonga and then traded Isaac Bonga for Jordan Bone, who is not then, in the league.
Yeah, well, we didn't. Yeah, we
and, traded. Oh, and a 2023 second is what we have, which right. could be Atlanta, Charlotte, or Brooklyn.
So I do just want to say we traded for Jordan Bone, but then we didn't keep Jordan Bone.
Yes.
We
also got Theo Maledon. I didn't remember that happening.
If I remember correctly, because that was when everyone was mad. We sold two picks in that draft, second round picks. We didn't draft Theo Maledon. Theo Maledon was a part. So we did technically. Trade. Yeah, he was part of the Horford trade. We also drafted Josh. Was it Josh Bay or Tyler Bay? We drafted Tyler Bay. I was mixing up Josh Green and Tyler Bay. We drafted Tyler Bay. We traded him to the Mavs. With the pick that we got from the Bruno Fernando trade, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, so we had a few Parms picks that we also drafted David Roddy.
Mm-hmm.
Our boy.
This is Daryl's washed, dude. Like the Sixers kill me. They draft all my guys and then trade them on draft night.
Well, but Melton's better than anyone that we could have got there.
Yeah. Melton.
That's a good pickup.
So I was so fucking excited during the stream for Melton, and then I saw David fucking Roddy like that he flashed, and I'm like, I'm gonna shoot myself. Like this is the worst him? Possible outcome.
I know, especially because the Grizzlies got him. Because
yeah,
the Grizzlies. I felt like all of our takes on guys, although you weren't a big Jake LaRavia guy, so they did get Jake LaRavia. But we did talk about, I think we all were like, Kennedy Chandler was a good pick. David Roddy was a good pick. Like, they always
and
make
Kenny Lofton, too? Like, are you shitting me? For their summer, how does this happen?
Didn't they get Vince Williams Jr. for their summer league team?
Yes. They're so stacked. It's crazy.
They're so good. It's going to be Sixers-Grizzlies. The Sixers summer league team is fucking stacked too. Did you see who we got?
I saw that we got Riller the Thriller.
Riller's back, baby. Grant Riller, 26 years old.
We got the Champagne-y brother that wasn't good enough to be drafted last year.
So we got Julian Champagne.
And he's cool. Champagne-y. He's cool. Champagne-y, he's solid. He's Champagne-y. Yeah,
he's fine. Bucket getter.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah,
like does Paul Reed, but like kind of worse. That's fine.
And then Isaiah Joe will be there.
Yep.
Springer will be there. We'll see. We have a lot of guards.
Getting Miles Powell action?
Maybe. I don't know. Charles Bassey, possibly? Bassey? A little
Chuck.
Little Chuck Bass?
I don't know. It's just like they just killed me. Like the Grizzlies just are breaking my fucking heart.
Of course.
They just keep getting guys that I like.
I know they're amazing. Although I will say some people did say like they might be getting a little bit too high on their own supply of like, oh, we can just draft the next DeAnthony Melton. And it's like, well, you guys kind of got DeAnthony Melton as a steal. Like, it's not guaranteed that like any of these guys who I like that they drafted, mm-hmm. it's no guarantee that they turn into as good of a player as Melton. But then again, they'll be on rookie scale deals. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have to get out of here. But thank you, Parm, for joining me.
Absolutely.
Stream during the beginning of free agency tomorrow?
Yeah, sure thing. I'm just putting this on the board.
Ending the broadcast. Bye.